Good morning. I'm reading from Mark 10, verses 46 to 52, from the New International Version. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go, your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The word of the Lord.
Buenos dias, Iglesia. Good morning, church. For this last number of weeks, we have been in this preaching series called Journey to the Cross. And the journey to the cross with Jesus is this picture of discipleship. And as we hear from Mark in this passage, Jesus is on the verge of entering Jerusalem. He's leaving Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. And there we encounter Bartimaeus. And this encounter with Jesus would have Bartimaeus seeing again. And we encounter Bartimaeus as Mark's gospel to help us see. Mark wants us to see, along with Bartimaeus, what it means to be with Jesus, who he is and what he is about. And with Bartimaeus, we can be offered the mercy to have our eyes open that we may go and follow Jesus on his way to the cross. So in other words, for us, Bartimaeus is this model of discipleship. Just a note, when we get into translations sometimes they can make decisions to make things easier for us to read and understand, but it can remove some of the strangeness that points to what's really going on. So I want you to have your Bibles open today and pull out a pen or a pencil to make some notes as we go through. Okay, that's my last bit of introduction. Here we go. Meeting Bartimaeus. We are told Jesus is leaving Jericho with his disciples in a crowd, and we get this incredibly strange introduction to Bartimaeus. You don't hear the strangeness in English because the NIV chooses to make it sound normal. It tells us there's this blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus. But in the Greek, it's very, very odd. The order is actually first that we hear son of Timaeus, then Bartimaeus. Okay, that's how he's introduced. There's the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus. That would be like if you were to introduce me to somebody else and you would say, "This is Joseph's son, Christopher." Do you see how that's a bit odd? Okay, now it gets even odder because Bar in Aramaic means son of. So Timaeus, son of Timaeus, and Bar Timaeus mean the same thing. So here's what it actually would be like to hear to our ears, is if, say, if my name wasn't Christopher, but Joseph's son. Because my father's name is Joseph. And so you would say to somebody, "This is Joseph's son, son of Joseph." Do you see how weird that is? There's this very odd focus on the fact that son of Timaeus comes first, and then Bartimaeus. And so the rest of the introduction goes like this. There is this man there, son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, a blind man begging on the side of the road. Now hold on to that strange introduction. We're going to come back to it in a bit. But blind is the reason why he is probably begging. To have a disability of any kind was more than a burden. For many people in the day, it was seen as like a sign of sinfulness. You can get a sense of this from John 9 if you want to go be keeners and do some more reading. When you see this blind man who the disciples see, and they ask Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Bartimaeus, to survive, has to beg. He has been sidelined, literally pushed to the side, to the very margins. He's dependent on the charity of the passersby to throw a coin or two his way. And then one day, this son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he calls out, "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." Now, this title, Son of David, is a messianic title. It comes from God's promise to David, this great king, that from him would come a son that he would establish a kingdom without end, this one who would rescue and save his people. You can read of this in 2 Samuel 7, 11b to 14a. This is what we read there. "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you." Here God is speaking to David. "When your days are over, and you rest with your ancestors, I will rise up for you an offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the kingdom of his throne forever. I will be his father. He will be my son." Bartimaeus is calling to Jesus with the title Son of David. He sees in Jesus' coming the fulfillment of all the hopes his people have been promised of this son of David who would come and rescue and set things right. Now we have this little bit of information to see why Mark gives us a strange introduction to Bartimaeus. The son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, remember they mean the same thing, calls on the son of David, Jesus. Do you see that? The son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, meaning the same thing, calls on the son of David, Jesus, to have mercy on him. There's this brilliant move that the way that Mark introduces Bartimaeus is to draw our attention that when Bartimaeus calls on Jesus as the son of David, he is one and the same. It means the same thing for Bartimaeus. So if you have your pencil or pen, you can draw a little line and make note of the connection between son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, and the son of David, Jesus. That what Mark is trying to get you to see here is Jesus, that Bartimaeus is right in this, that he has faith to see that Jesus is the one who has come to fulfill the promise of being the son of David. That he is the Savior. The crowds don't like that this blind man cries out for Jesus. And it's not like it's a quiet, peaceful scene, right? This is a crowd on the road. It's hustle. It's bustle. Bartimaeus isn't disturbing the peace, right? This is no library scene. There is something about him calling out, though, that gets under their skin. The crowds rebuke him. This is language used of trying to shut up demons. That's how strong this is. This is how angry they get at him. Why are they so strong against him? Maybe it's because he's not doing what beggars are supposed to be doing. He's drawing attention to himself. And not in a way that he's, you know, head down, eyes looking up, "Please, can I have some money?" Demurely. He's making himself heard. He's yelling. He is someone who needs to be heard. Because the Savior, the Son of David, Jesus, is coming by. And he knows he's coming to set things right. And so when the crowd tells him to shut up, he yells all the louder. He is desperate to get Jesus' attention. See how discipleship begins by knowing that Jesus is near and crying out to him with faith. The life of following Jesus meets this desperate need in us to be reconnected with our God, to be welcomed in by the one who has made us, that he is our one chance to be saved, to be made whole. This is a conviction at the base of what it means to be a disciple and to follow Jesus, that he alone is Son of David. He alone is Messiah and Savior, the rescuer, and that we know we need rescue and saving. We are desperate for him. To come to faith, we need to see ourselves and know that we are in a desperate need of the mercy of Jesus. And as Bartimaeus keeps crying out all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me," something incredible happens. Jesus stops. One commentator writes this, "On these words hang the fate of Bartimaeus." The original Greek reads, "And Jesus stood still, How remarkable that the Son of Man allows the cries of a poor and powerless person to stop him in his tracks. See, we get to see who Jesus is. We get to see his character, his heart. In Jesus, God stops in his tracks for a cry of faith. This is what gets Jesus' attention. Not money, not power, not reputation. No, faith. No matter where it comes from, Jesus notices anyone who cries out with faith. And we can get ourselves twisted up. We can get ourselves silenced, thinking that we need to sort ourselves out, make ourselves right, be a certain way for Jesus to take notice of us. There's this hymn I love. It's called, Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy. And if you're looking for someone to listen to this week as you continue to journey the cross, I recommend finding a version of it. To the verses go like this. Let not conscience make you linger. Not of fitness fondly dream. Now that's not like fitness. It's how right you are to be with him, okay? Let not conscience make you linger. Not a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. Come you weary, you heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry, if you wait till you're better, you will never come at all. So please, church, don't think for a second you need to get yourselves better to earn Jesus' mercy. If you wait till you think you are good enough, or you can make yourself sorted out, it'll never happen. The first step is faith, a desperate cry of faith. That will get Jesus' attention. Be like Bartimaeus, who cares nothing for the crowd's rebukes, who doesn't let his blindness or poverty be a barrier. Bartimaeus knows one thing, and he's going for it. Again, quoting the same hymn, that Jesus stands ready to save you, full of mercy, love, and power. Can you see Jesus standing ready to save you, full of mercy, love, and power? Bartimaeus did, and his cry of faith is all that Jesus needed to hear to stop and pay attention. Now see Jesus call Bartimaeus. Hearing Bartimaeus, Jesus stops and says, call him. And this invitation changes what we expect in this encounter. Until now, we're expecting this is a healing story. But now it's something bigger. It's a story of calling, of discipleship. And hearing the invitation of Jesus, see Bartimaeus throw his cloak to the side and come to Jesus. Again, to us, this may seem like just a note, an interesting note of how quickly he responds. Oh, yeah. But this outer cloak that is tossed aside is what Bartimaeus would actually spread in front of him. As he begged, he's sitting there, he's blind, he's sitting, he's begging, he lays his outer cloak in front of him. And as people come by, as he hears them, he says, please, mercy, have alms, give alms, please, mercy. And people would put their money, their gifts, their charity to him on his cloak. So when Bartimaeus throws this outer cloak aside, he is throwing his way of life aside. He is giving everything up to respond to Jesus. The money he had earned that day, the means to wrap himself up and keep himself warm at night, the very place where people give him what he needs for his day-to-day things, it's all going aside. Because Bartimaeus, too, knows that this is the turning point of his life. And he throws everything aside and goes and follows Jesus. Rich or poor, great or little, weak or strong, this has been the pattern in the Gospels that Jesus says, come and follow me, and people leave everything to follow him. Discipleship is an invitation to go with Jesus with the willingness to set everything aside. It's a sign of our faith that we see in Jesus that he is worth more than anything else, that he is the one that we need, that we expect to be changed, that we expect Jesus will in fact take us with him, that we can go with him, and that nothing from our past, nothing of what hinders is worth clinging to if we can't go to Jesus? Are you willing to? So part two, Jesus and Bartimaeus. See Bartimaeus and Jesus together. When Bartimaeus comes to Jesus, Jesus asks this question, what do you want me to do for you? It's an odd question. This man is blind. What else would Bartimaeus ask for? But in asking this, in this strange little detail, we once again get to see the character of Jesus. See, Jesus has a great deal of mercy. And he has this for Bartimaeus and his physical disability. For Jesus, though, his physical disability is not a barrier to discipleship. In fact, discipleship for Bartimaeus has already begun. Jesus is present. Faith has cried out in response of God coming near in Jesus. Jesus calls for Bartimaeus and he throws off everything and goes to him. Bartimaeus has already begun being a disciple. And what Jesus is doing is giving great dignity to Bartimaeus. He treats him as a whole person, not just a disability. One commentator writes, Bartimaeus is not a problem to be dealt with for Jesus. Jesus will not do something to him, but something with him, thus allowing Bartimaeus to express himself as a person rather than apologizing for himself as a social problem or victim. See the goodness and great love Jesus has for those who he encounters. He will treat us the same way, with the same dignity and compassion. What do you want me to do for you? Now, we might also find that question strange because we know Jesus is God after all. And for us who come to Scripture, I think one of the things that's really odd is the God who we say knows everything asks a lot of questions of people. This God of Scripture is a God who asks a lot of questions. We see it again in the Scripture, and we see it in the Gospels. The Son of David line may draw us back to not the Son of David, but a Son of David, Solomon, the biological son and heir of David, who, when he began his reign as successor to David, met God in a dream. And God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. What do you want from me, Solomon? And Solomon answered God, saying, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? And God is so pleased with Solomon's answer that he not only makes him wise, but also gives him wealth and possessions and honor. And this happens again and again throughout Scripture, and it happens in church history. Let me tell you one church history story, one of my favorite church history stories of God asking some questions. Thomas Aquinas was this 13th century priest and theologian. And he wrote this incredible work called Summa Theologica. It means like the sum of theology. And what he was trying to do in this work is to give students everything they needed to know about theology. And it's this incredible work, maybe one of the most important theological works written about faith. And I would really encourage you guys to check it out, especially if you're like theology nerds. It has this really interesting structure in that everything that he wants to address, like does God exist? Is God good? All the way through, every article, every little bit of faith, he actually poses it as a question. Is God good? And then Thomas works with his students to first listening objections to that and then thinking through and reasoning about it and using Scripture to answer the question, yes, God is good, or yes, God exists, or yes, Jesus is God. And it's this incredible, formative, excellent work. Again, you should check it out. And again, one of the greatest works that have ever been written theologically. And here's the thing about it. It's massive, and it's unfinished. And it's not unfinished because he died. Actually, one day in worship, he saw Jesus in a vision. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, you have written so well of me. What would you like as your reward? What do you want of me? What can I do for you? And Thomas Aquinas said, nothing if not you, Lord. the later years of his life would just be spent delighting in the presence of Jesus. He would later write that he couldn't write. He would later say to someone he couldn't write anymore because all I've written now seems like straw to me after encountering Jesus. And so this incredible work is left undone because he has been drawn into the greater work of knowing Jesus. Church, can you hear and see Jesus asking you, what do you want from me? What would you have me do for you? And when God asks you this question, I want you to be bold, like Solomon, like Aquinas. Be simple, yes, be humble, yes, but just feel free to ask for great things and what God has for you. But there's a little warning here as well. Make sure that your heart and your requests are in line with what God is about. You see, Jesus, just before asking Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, what do you want me to do for you? If you look up a little bit in your Bibles to Mark 10:36, you will see Jesus asking the same question to two other sons, the sons of Zebedee, John and James. And you might want to make a little note of this. This is a good place to have a pen or pencil. You can draw a line from Jesus asking Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, in Mark 10 at the end there, all the way up to Mark 10:36. Jesus asking these sons of Zebedee, what do you want me to do for you? They're connected. And so Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And James and John answer saying, we would like power and prestige and glory. It did not go over well. Not only does it not go over well with Jesus, he has to spend a lot of time correcting their ideas of what they see he is about. But then the other disciples hear of it, and that doesn't go over well. And then Jesus has to do a lot of correcting with his disciples on the way to the cross as well about, this is what it means to be with me and follow me and what I'm about. But Bartimaeus' answer to Jesus in Mark 10:51 is, Rabbi, I want to see. Teacher, I want to see. And Jesus heals him. Again, keep out this pencil because there's something you need to know here. There's another, where you see rabbi here, the word is actually, that means teacher. And it's a phrase that was used for these people who would go around teaching about God's law. They were experts in scripture. They would kind of explain what they were about, the commandments of God, and how you would live them out. So right, rabbi, teacher, okay? But the word here is actually rabuni. And that little difference from rabbi to rabuni actually goes from being teacher to my teacher. Okay, so over where is this rabbi there? You, in your Bibles, you can make a note. If it's not there already, this is actually my teacher. And you might want to make another note saying, see Mary in the garden at the empty tomb. Because it's the only other place in Scripture where Jesus is called Rabuni. And Mary goes to the empty tomb after the death of Jesus with the other ladies to care for the body of Jesus. But the tomb's empty. And she's distraught, and she's crying, and she meets someone in the garden. She thinks it's the gardener, and he says her name, Mary, and suddenly she realizes, oh, it's Jesus. And she says, Rabuni, my teacher. It's a phrase of actually quite a lot of reverence. It's so much so reverence in this phrase that in the Jewish writings of the time, it's only ever used to speak of God in prayer. And so Mary's words to Jesus at the empty tomb are a prayer to her God. And here, Bartimaeus, having already expressed faith that Jesus is this Messiah, goes even deeper. We can see how deep his faith is. He says, Rabuni, my teacher, my God. I want to see. Now, Mark has been trying to get all of us who hear, who have been reading along with his gospel, hearing his gospel, to see Jesus. It's been the main focus of his gospel, especially since about chapter 8, where someone blind, another blind person, is brought to Jesus and is healed. But there in Mark 8, it takes a couple steps for it to happen. It's a work in progress. But ever since then, Mark has been really pressing in hard that that you really have to see Jesus. That we have to have our eyes healed to see Jesus. And this, the frustrating part of from Mark 8 to Mark 10 is that there are these disciples with him and they just will not see. No one gets what's going on. Jesus isn't even explicit for what it means for him to be the son of David, the Messiah, speaking of his journey to Jerusalem and to the suffering and the death on the cross, and the disciples don't get it. They don't understand. They don't have faith to see. Ah, Mary, his close friend, a disciple, and the first apostle needs to see Jesus raised from the dead before she understands who he is. Rabboni. My teacher, my God. And the irony is that Bartimaeus, blind as he is, having spent little to no time with Jesus as he has eyes to see. All these folks around him, being his disciples, but it's the blind man who sees what's going on. It's the blind man who sees who Jesus is. And this is what we are too to see about journeying with Jesus to the cross as his disciples. We better know who we're traveling with. Bartimaeus does. The disciples, they don't quite see it yet. And the reason we need to know who we're traveling with is that we might get disappointed and walk away when Jesus leads us to the cross. Because that's what happened to his disciples. They couldn't understand and handle Jesus being crucified. It looked to them like defeat. It looked to them like everything was falling apart. They only saw scorn and they only saw shame. And we may, like his followers, be unable to understand the glory of the cross, that the cross was the plan all along. And to have faith and to be saved is to go as a disciple wanting to see who Jesus is and what he is doing. To have the faith and trust that there is purpose in the suffering and the pain. We will learn more of that in the next few weeks as we go to Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And as we go to the cross with Jesus, to have faith to see that victory comes to the cross for Jesus and for us. So in these next 2 weeks, as we go into Holy Week, this can be our prayer. My teacher, my God, I want to see. Bartimaeus' story can be a frame for us as well as we pray for others to come to see Jesus. It can be our prayers of intercession, oh Jesus, let them see you. As God come near, let them want to see you. So this is a healing story, but it's also this call to discipleship. And we come to see that Bartimaeus' prayer of I want to see is a prayer of healing. And it's a prayer of salvation. Jesus responds at the end of Mark 10, go, your faith has healed you. Immediately he reserved his sight and began to follow Jesus along the road. And we see this change in Bartimaeus. He is healed physically. He can see. And there is social healing. Bartimaeus began being on the side of the road, low down, a beggar. He was on the margins. Now he is with Jesus on the road. This word healing, though, in Scripture also means salvation. Something else to note. In your Bibles, anytime you see the word healing or salvation, that they mean the same thing. And so you could just as easily translate what Jesus says in response to Bartimaeus, go, your faith has saved you. But go where? Saved to what? Well, it's discipleship. It is a result of our saving faith in Jesus to follow him in discipleship. And we see this with Bartimaeus. Jesus tells him he can go. And where does he choose to go? With Jesus. He is following Jesus along the road that will lead to Jerusalem and to the cross. And here's the second to last note of correction to make in your Bibles, is that this phrase, follow Jesus along the road, is literally, and he followed Jesus in the way. Some of you know what this means. One of the early ways of describing Christians was calling them followers in the way, as in the way of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The followers of the way also captures Jesus' insistence that to follow him was to follow in the way of the cross. So we can now see Bartimaeus is now following Jesus in the way, journeying to the cross with him. It is crucial to what it means to have faith and to follow, to be saved and be a disciple, is that we daily take up our cross and follow him. This is a result of saving faith, and it does something in us as well. So Timaeus, as in Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, Timaeus means glory. And as Bartimaeus begins to follow Jesus in the way, he is being changed from glory to glory. And as he goes to the cross with Jesus, he truly becomes someone whose life points to not the defeat and the shame of the cross, but the great victorious glory of the cross. And for us who want to be disciples with Jesus as we journey to the cross, this is our invitation to come and follow him in the way and be sons and daughters of glory. Bartimaeus had faith to see Jesus and his whole life changes. He's heading with him. He's in the way. In the weeks ahead, we will also be confronted with these stories of people unwilling to see Jesus for who he is, to understand his life, his mission to seek and save the lost, to set things right by first suffering death before being raised and vindicated in the resurrection, thereby unleashing a new life and new creation. But in between this moment of Bartimaeus' faith, Rabuni, my God, and Mary's by the empty tomb, Rabuni, my teacher, my God, we will see the disciples witness the cross and flee and be afraid. And we may see a lot of ourselves in those same disciples and the failure of those disciples. What do we do with disciples like that? And so one last correction, one last note to put in your Bibles, and one more lesson to learn from Bartimaeus. So when Bartimaeus says, I want to see, it's probably actually more like, I want to see again. Like as in restore my sight. And physically, this implies that he became blind during his life. He wasn't always blind. But as this is also a story of a call to discipleship, it shows that we too can come to Jesus and ask to see again. As disciples, we will fail. When we do, we can again seek his mercy, his power, his love again and again. Because Jesus is near and Jesus is merciful. And you can ask for your sight to be regained. You can be restored and join Jesus in the way again. Our theme this year is compassion and grace. And this strange thing happens with the crowd where they first rebuke Bartimaeus. But in Jesus' responsive welcome to him, their cries of rebuke turn into a cries of invitation, of encouragement. They change their tune. They now encourage Bartimaeus to come to Jesus. So let us hear Jesus' invitation going out through us. Let us be like those around Jesus who amplify his call, who spread Jesus' word of welcome to both first-time disciples and failed disciples who need to hear the invitation again. Let us be a people who say to one another, take heart, cheer up, be encouraged, on your feet, Jesus is here. Jesus is merciful, and he is calling you. He is calling you, whether this is for the first time to see or to restore your sight again. As we end our series on journeying to the cross, as we head into Holy Week next week, my friends, I pray that we would see Jesus, that we would see that this is God come near to us. I pray that we would respond with faith, knowing that we are in desperate need of his mercy, that we would hear his call, that we would throw off everything to join him. It is worth it. And may we, like Bartimaeus, pray, oh my God, heal us, make us whole, restore us, let us see you, and let us see you again, so we can follow you, Jesus, with joy and in your glory on the way to the cross. Amen.